I hope that you've been praying that prayer. This prayer is so foundational to everything that we believe, and I hope you're going to see that even again today. So let's read the prayer once again, and then we will look at the last part of it. The Apostle Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 1, starting in verse 9, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." That is quite a prayer. And just to review a little bit, we said that learning to pray like this, learning to pray even this prayer, or helping us to expand our praying, deepening our praying, more than just praying for sick bodies and safe travels, as important as that is, we should never stop doing that. But we want to learn how to pray the way the apostle prayed. And so we learn from that that this kind of praying jump starts our praying. When you pray a prayer like this, it'll get you going in a new direction in your praying. It can also reveal the kind of praying that God desires, because remember, this is Scripture. This prayer is inspired Scripture of God. This is what God wanted us to have. It teaches us how to pray, because once you pray like this, you can expand and learn the biblical thoughts that go into biblical praying. And then finally, it ultimately teaches us what's important to God. If God inspired the Apostle Paul to pray this for the Colossians, it tells us what God wants. And ultimately, that's our goal. What God wants. The will of God. And you know, the more I look at this prayer and the desire of Paul for the Colossians, the more I see how foundational really this prayer is for all Christians and their living a Christian life, you know, that is productive and joyful and victorious and one, as we said last week, worthy of the Lord. There's really so much here. So verse 10, we looked at those four elements, that walking worthy of the Lord, that's a goal, that's what we pray for, and that is something that can be done. Why would God call Paul to pray for it if it couldn't be done? To walk worthy of the Lord. It is actually possible to walk worthy of the Lord. Now, that's not walking in perfection, as we said. It's walking worthily, showing the worth of God. And then he says, pleasing God in all respects. A Christian can please God. And that doesn't transgress salvation by grace through faith and not of works. You please God in all respects. This is possible for those who are filled with the presence and the person of God himself, bearing fruit in every good work, that we would be productive, that there would be results of our faith. There would be actually something that can be shown for the life that we're living and the good that God will do through it. And then finally, increasing in the knowledge of God. There is a knowledge to be had, otherwise he wouldn't have prayed for it. But we can increase in that knowledge. The last two Wednesday nights, if you weren't here or you missed that, I really want to encourage you to go back and listen to the last two Wednesday nights, because we really went deeper. We drilled down into this whole business of the knowledge of God and walking worthily before the Lord. But this morning, let's look at verse 11. I want us to look at the massive statements and the results of praying from verse 9, that we would be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's the base of the prayer. We studied that extensively. And now we're looking at the massive results of that. Of what is it? Verse 11 continues that result when it says that we would be, here's our key for this morning, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow, that's a mouthful. And the first thing we see from that is that the gospel is not just a destination. The gospel is not just heaven bound. It is all of that. But you see that when you believe what Christ has done in Christ for what he has done for you, it takes you into a new place. It's a motivational force, if you will, to keep you persevering in the faith and living the Jesus way. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It is motivation. The motivation continues as Paul transitions to an immense declaration of the person and the work of Jesus, which we're going to study in the coming weeks. And let me just whet your appetite for this with his transitional statements, which is the next one in verse 13, which we'll study next week. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. I can't wait to work on that one. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And after this, Paul keeps going and he gives some of the most important bodies of knowledge of who Jesus is. And a lot of what we know and believe about Jesus comes from the next several verses. So we have a lot to look forward to. But let's finish the prayer and its benefits to us in verse 11. Let me just read it again so it starts to come into our mind. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Those who are being filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, there is a result. And what will that be? That we will be strengthened with all power. Strengthened with all power. Not just any power, but a power according to, it says, his glorious might. Let's get those words in our minds, because if you think about it, isn't that what we really want? If you are born again, if you have come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, somewhere in you, whether it's conscious or even subconscious, there is a desire to be strengthened with power. You need that power. You know you need that power. And we want that power. But notice where that power is aimed at. And it's aimed at some of the most important things that we desire. He says, for the attaining of all steadfastness. Another word there is perseverance. Gentlemen, you'll remember that from the men's retreat. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Ah, patience. The number one prayer request. Patience. But first, let's consider this power. Strengthened with all power. Now, in the Greek, it's very interesting here, the word that's used. It's for strengthened and for power, they come from the same root. And the transliteration can be dyname or dunamé and dynamumene. Dynamumenoi. I had to work on that a little bit. Dyname, dynamumenoi. Say that three times fast. Power, strengthened. In the Greek, you usually have the adjective comes after the noun, and so they're in reverse order in the Greek, but when it's translated, it's changed to the way we speak. And so you have these two words that mean power. One is an alteration, which makes it strengthening with power. So you have a double powerful statement here. And you can't help but notice what dyname sounds like. What does that sound like? Dynamite. Similar to our root word for dynamite. And some have pushed that definition, I think, too far with the physical object that we all call dynamite. You know, that's a modern invention compared to the Bible, obviously. So it can't define the word to mean an explosive kind of power. No, it's not explosive. In fact, it's not explosive. It's actually continuous. Continuous. Let's get this firmly in our minds. The present participle of the word strengthened, dynamumenoi, indicates a continuous action. That's what the ending of the phrase means. And so rather than an explosive, short-lived kind of power that comes on us as Christians from the Spirit of God, it is more a continuous strength. So it's not that God zaps you with his power and then it just carries you on. No, it's actually much better than that. He continuously strengthens his people through the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's a great thought. It's a great thought. The power of God available to us continuously. When I was a kid, I had a favorite toy among a few, but one of my favorites was a really cool toy where you had a little plastic rocket, and we would put water in it and pump it up, and then you pushed a button, and it released all the energy of that compressed air and water and made a loud pop, and the little rocket would shoot up as we squealed with delight and got soaking wet. So you always did this, you know, in your bathing suit out in the backyard at Grandma's house, you know. How many of you used to play with one of those? Yeah, well, it was pretty common. For those of us over, never mind. But it went up, you know, went up about 50 feet. It was cool. But then, as I got older, I graduated to an Estes rocket. How many of you guys didn't? Okay, we got a few Estes rockets guys here. Oh, man, what a thrill that was to put that engine in the base of the rocket that I assembled and painted, and we would stand back and push a button, you know, and it would ignite the rocket, and instead of an explosion, no, it was a rocket that was actually propelled by a fuel which burned long enough to send that rocket up not 50 feet, but 1,000 feet. And then we'd have to get in the car and go find it afterwards after it came down. What a difference there was in those two rockets in my childhood. A continual transfer of power to the rocket is what made the difference in the second one. So here's the deal. God gives a continuous power to live. And not only just to live and survive, but to actually live out the will of God in your life. That's the first part of the prayer, that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And to live out his will, which will require some steadfastness, some perseverance. It's going to require some patience in seeing God do his work in us on so many different levels. But to do that, you've got to have the power, and it can't be just a little burst at the beginning to get you going. It's something God gives us on a continuous basis. You know, let's think about that for a little bit. People say, what is the connection of God to people? What do you mean a relationship? What connection does God really have with people? Well, one of those connections is right here in our text. It is a real and spiritual flow of the power of God for right and victorious and grace-filled living in the life of the believer. It's what really makes the difference. We are not just legally justified before God and then we wait around to die and go to heaven. God is much more connected to us than that. What a thought, the power of God actually flowing through us. What kind of power is that? Well, let's look at that. Let's get a little survey of that from some other texts of the Bible. In Acts chapter 1, when the church really was born on the day of Pentecost, Jesus talked about this and told the disciples what was getting ready to happen. And then it happened. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive what? Power. Dynamin. Dunamin. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. For them to go out and be the church and witness to the world, they needed something they didn't have. What was that? Power. They needed power. So when the Holy Spirit of God had come upon those believers and filled them, they were then able to do what they were not able to do before. God's power flowed and supernatural things happened. Namely, that they could witness for Christ. They could share with boldness. And a boldness they didn't have before this. And a strength they didn't have before this. Remember, they were timid. They were afraid. They were hiding. God gets involved and comes and lives inside of them. And everything changes. Notice it came through the Holy Spirit. His Spirit. God the Spirit inside of them. If you go back to my Estes rocket illustration, the power was not above the rocket, right, pulling the rocket along. No, the power was inserted into the center of the rocket, and it propelled from within. And that's, I think, the same with God. And Ephesians chapter 3 says this so plainly. Listen to this. Paul, the same writer who is writing the book of Colossians, says it in chapter 3 of Ephesians. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." By the way, here's another prayer for you. "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." What? What's he going to pray for them? "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be," read it with me, "strengthened with power." Strengthened with power, don't miss that, "through his spirit," where? "In the inner man." There's the inner power, the strength of God coming from the inside. "In the inner man." Why? "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." Even your ability to process the information and believe the truth of the love of God comes from the power of God. If you believe, then power has been released in your life. Because without it, you can't. We're dead. And he makes us alive with his power. Look at the next verse, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Don't miss that. "According to the power which works within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So this idea of power is not some isolated concept in the New Testament. In fact, if we go back to the beginning of the book of Ephesians, listen to what Paul also says, another prayer. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the," read it with me, "greatness of his power toward us who believe." These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, his dunamunamai, which is brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Power toward us who believe. God's power to do what he has called us to do. So here's the thing. Every command, every ministry, every job he's called you to do, every temptation you face, everything pertaining to life and godliness, as Peter said, guess what? Strengthened with his power. You are not left to your own determination and your own will. Your will is involved. As we said on the retreat, guys, we don't just sit back and wait for God to do everything and just watch him. No, we avail ourselves. We discipline ourselves. We persevere. But without the power of God, it's not going anywhere. So let's look at that power a little more closely even. What kind of power is it? His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Verse 20, we're still in Ephesians 1. Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the power of God that lives in us is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The power of the resurrection. That's why Paul said in another place, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to experience that power every day of my life. So how much power was required to raise Jesus from the dead? What kind of power is that? Well, I'll tell you what kind of power it is. It's a kind of power that we don't know anything about. We don't know that fully. It's a spiritual power. But it's kind of like a lot of physical illustrations in your life. We don't have to understand how or even the nature of the power to be able to benefit from it or to even use it, right? When you flip on the light switch, when you walk into a room, you don't have to understand how electricity is generated. You don't have to know the physics of how it flows through a wire, but you do have to, by an act of faith, turn on the switch. But you don't have to understand it for the light to come on. What a wonderful relief that is. And again, Paul is saying that the kind of power that is available to us as believers to live out the life that God wants us to live and to want the life he wants to bless and to use is the same power that was exerted to raise Jesus back from the dead. What kind of power? I used to work at Florida Power and Light, as you know, some of you do, as an engineer, and I worked on those massive power lines out in the Everglades along US 27. And that power, those power lines bring electricity all the way from Georgia, from the coal-fired plants in Georgia. They bring it all the way down to South Florida, where there's so much demand. And it comes over a wire. And it's not just any wire. The voltage, you know, in your house, excuse me for being technical, but this is going to illustrate the point. The voltage in your house, I mean, you may know, is like 120 volts, right? That powers all the usual stuff in your house, the small things. It may go as high as 240 for the second leg of that to power your air conditioner, your stoves, you know, the higher demands. But that voltage on this line in out in the Everglades is not 240 volts, it's 500,000 volts. That's a lot of power. In fact, it's bringing 2,000 million watts of power into South Florida at any given moment. When I used to work under these lines, sometimes the electric field around that power was so strong that arcs would jump between our fingers. I mean, there's a lot of power there. Now, can you imagine if someone decided that to raise a body from the dead, they decided to take that power from all that power that's available out there in the Everglades and transfer it to a dead body to raise it from the dead. What would they get? Let's just say it would not be pleasant, more than likely. No, the power of God is different. It's immense. And it's filled with the same strengthening power for our lives today as when the power surged through the cold, dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden his eyes opened. Blood begins to flow. Synaptic nerves begin to fire, and his body sat up or stood up and started walking. And he walked out of that tomb by the power of God. And here's the amazing reality. To think that this same strengthening power which surpasses any electrical force in the universe, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to every believer at any given moment of any given day. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it." Every temptation is conquerable, according to the Word of God. But how is that possible? It comes with some kind of power that goes beyond us. The power that's available. Romans 15:13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." 1 Corinthians 2, "So that your faith will not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." And I could keep going with the power of God that's all over the New Testament. So now that we have a little better gauge of what we're dealing with God's power, I want you to notice in our text in Colossians 1, verse 11 again, the measure of that power. Go back to verse 11. "Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." According to his glorious might. Let's just keep our minds on the power of God so this will become something that even is something we desire and we're even aware of it. We're strengthened by that. The word glorious comes from doxa in the New Testament, in the Greek. It means glory, the showing or the manifestation of God's nature and all of his attributes, all the many faceted descriptions of God's nature. You have his power, his holiness, his perfection, his beauty, his brilliance, his goodness, his love. All of these things contribute to what we call the glory of God. And here's the wonderful reality is that the power that's available to us is measured in keeping with the glory of God. The glory of God is everything to us, but it's not just something for us to observe and go, wow, that glorious might is the kind of might and strength that comes into the life of a believer when they become a Christian. It is a glorious might, not just strength, but the use of that strength. That's what the word means. It's the action. It's the strength of actually accomplishing something. God is active with his power in the life of the believer, and that power does not run out at 50 feet or 1,000 feet. It's limitless. Limitless. So right from these definitions, we see a new view of God's power and his desire to share it with us and us to use it. And right away, I hope you're applying that to whatever you feel totally powerless to overcome in your life. Think about all those things, whatever they may be. A temptation that you face to overcome. A job God has called you to do that you feel like you just don't have the wherewithal to do, or the strength, or the gifts, or whatever. A forgiveness that maybe you need to offer to somebody that has been absolutely impossible to you. Think about it. If the power of God is behind that, you can forgive. A sin that you need to kill, an addiction or a stronghold you have long given up as, well, that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. No, just the way it is. In the life of the believer, Paul would say, don't settle for that when you have the power of God available to you. You can be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding and be strengthened. Again, verse 11, strengthen with all power according to his glorious might. Let's say that again. Strengthen with all power according to his glorious might. You know, just hearing that coming at you from a few different angles this morning can be enough for you to have a new hope, a new thought of God offering something you haven't been believing. And it's time for that to change. It's time for that to change. In what area we struggle in, we need to bring the reality, the knowledge of God's will, and we know the knowledge of his will. His will is that we be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Now, finally, where is this power being directed? Where is it being shown to? It's verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness. Okay, guys, here's our word. Hupomene. We studied that on the men's retreat. It means perseverance or to persevere. And it's usually used to talk about endurance or perseverance in a trial or in some form of suffering or a difficulty. Patience in trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but what? Take heart, I have overcome the world. We need to hang in there and be strong and make it through the difficulty that we're facing with the power of God behind us. That's what it's aimed at. The second idea is the word patience, makrothumene, patience. And usually when this word is used in the New Testament, it's patience with people. So you have the power of God being displayed in patience in a trial or some kind of suffering or some need to accomplish something. And then you have power displayed in patience with people. Well, that about covers it. Right? If you have that, you have what you need. And God is saying, my power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, is available for these things. Now, let's see how much of life that covers. Where do you need power? God's power. Patience and endurance in the midst of your difficulties, and we all have those. And patience in obeying God and doing the right thing, even when it's hard, and everything in you wants to give up or quit. And then patience with all those people in your life that try your patience. What if we began to see, and please get this, what if we began to see that the power that raised Jesus from the dead, the strength of his glorious might, is available for our endurance and perseverance that we need in the trials and the difficulties of life, and the same power can be applied to the patience we need for the people in our lives that are trying our patience. And I don't mean just enduring them, but actually loving them. I think that's certainly the biblical precedent. What a new perspective that is. It's kind of like turning on the light switch. Too often we just walk in the dark of our unbelief, dark of defeated thinking. This is just the way it is. It's always going to be like this. I'm never going to change. I'm just waiting around to get to heaven. All this is going to be over. Just stuck in this powerless life. Not according to the Word of God. And look at the motivation we have. Look at verse 12. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been qualified. We'll look at this more fully as part of the transitional statement to the nature of Jesus. But for today, you can joyously give thanks to the Father. You can thank God who has, by his power, taken you as a hell-bound sinner to qualified by his grace to receive the inheritance that is worth more than any earthly wealth you could ever imagine. That's motivation. So what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that kind of motivation? What are you going to do with what you've heard directly from the Bible today? Because that's really the question. The Christian life is a life of faith, to take God at his word. And I've shared the word with you today, and so now there is a response required to this power that is available. This sounds so trite and so simple, but will you believe it? Will you believe that? God has said this power is available. And if you haven't known it or experienced it like you know you should, or not believe that you can do the impossible in the trial or the temptation or the people or whatever it is, today you can say, you know what, Lord, you have the freedom now. You have the invitation to do this. Lord, I choose by your grace to believe what your word says that I can be. Let's read the verse together. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Believer, it's time to turn on the light switch. It's time to believe God. And if you're an unbeliever, if you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, none of this applies to you. But it can. It can be yours. If you will turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ. If you, by an act of faith, you feel faith welling up in you, maybe even today, or maybe you're watching and you say, I am feeling that faith. Well, seize it and say to the Lord, Lord, I have transgressed your law. I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Please come into my life and save me too. I need your power in my life. I believe God will answer that prayer. In fact, he promised he would. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What an amazing thing available to us. So let's pray and ask God to bring it to us in a reality that we've never known before. Let's pray. Father, we need your help to believe what we've heard today. We need your help to apply. And there's 1,000 applications right now. We all need endurance and perseverance. Some of us to accomplish the things that you've called us to. Some of us just to get through the next 12 hours. Some of us, Lord, who need to turn to you and be saved from our sin and trust in Jesus. Lord, wherever the application is, I'm asking you now that you would apply your power to it and that there would be a new faith and a new hope rising up. And there would be a new determination to seek, because this is a prayer, to seek that power for our loved ones that we are praying for and for ourselves. Lord, would you do a new, fresh work in each heart today that is hearing this message, including the one who's preaching it. I need your power, Lord. I need your strengthening, powerful might in everything that I'm facing, from leading this church and helping pastor it with the other elders, to just trusting you for daily life, overcoming the temptations and the sins of living in this godless world. We look to you for your power that raised Jesus from the dead to be displayed in us, that you would be glorified by helping us do, think, believe, trust what we have not been able to do without you. I pray for anybody here, Lord, or that's listening that needs Jesus, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, that they would turn to you and be saved. Please do it in Jesus' name. Amen.